We all know really well that the climax of the plagues in Egypt was the death of the firstborn. And not surprisingly, in this week's parasha, we're told that as a result of that, because Hashem saved our firstborns, we're required to redeem our firstborns in a mitzvah called Pidyon HaBen. The Rebbe is going to look at the source in this week's parasha related to a siyum on the Gemara in Psachim and show us the different halachic parameters of exactly how this mitzvah works and how that relates specifically to the concept of Pesach with a great take-home message for us. May our pasuk v'chol b'char adam b'vonecha tifteh she'beparasha seinu. In our parasha this week, we have the pasuk that says, "And all the firstborns of your children should be redeemed." So the maiden b'Yerushalmi. From that, we learn in the Talmud Yerushalmi noisav al etzem chiyuv av lifdois as b'noi b'chor. Besides the obvious, is that this is a mitzvah for a son to be redeemed by his father. However, in addition to that, the Yerushalmi teaches us this: shim loy pada ha'av es b'noi. So the Yerushalmi learns that if a father does not redeem his son, turns out that when the son is of age, he has to redeem himself. Incidentally, this happens relatively often because people are not aware of the concept of Pidyon HaBen. They find out about it later in life and they have to go through the process as an adult. So the Yerushalmi says we learn it out of the pasuk in this week's parasha. Whereas the Talmud Bavli, the Babylonian Talmud that we more commonly learn, learns the same principle from a different pasuk in a different parasha, in Parashas Korach, where it says, "Padoi tifde, you shall surely redeem yourself." So, and that raises two questions for us. Number one, Aleph. May be Nayum, eze pasuk yalfinon, shev loip do'oi aviv chayv lifdois atzmoi. What practical difference will it make to us if we learn the principle? Because the halacha is the halacha. Everybody agrees. If somebody was not given a pidyon haben as a child, they have to have a pidyon haben when they grow up. Fine, we get it. What difference does it make if I learn it out of the pasuk in this week's parasha or out of the pasuk in Parashas Korach? Question one. Question two. Beis my time bebavli nilmzu me'apasuk podoy tivdeh uveyoshalmi me'apasuk sheveparashas seinu. Why, if there is actually a difference between the two different pesukim, how come it is that the Bavli goes with the one from Korach and the Yerushalmi goes with the one from our parasha? Okay, so those are the two things we have to examine, which will lead us to a whole analysis of how Pidyon HaBen works. V'nei. So here's our first clue. V'nei yesh hefresh b'teichnu v'inyin. So immediately we're going to identify that the way in which the mitzvah is presented in this week's parasha is quite distinct from the way that it is presented in Parashas Korach. So what's the difference? Two things. Aleph. First of all, in our parasha it says that every human firstborn, obviously the Jewish people, from your sons shall be redeemed. And it also says, v'chol b'chor bonai efter. So there's an emphasis on the notion of being a son, being a child. So mefurish bar, which indicates, sheha'ov hu shetzorich livdoisos b'noi ha'b'chor. There you can see that the emphasis is, because it's talking about son is a relationship relative to a father. So from this we understand that it's the father's mitzvah to redeem his son. That's what our parasha indicates. Whereas, ma'ashengi parashos kerach shenem astam, whereas in Parashas Korach, it doesn't specify the relationship and therefore the insinuation of who has to redeem the firstborn. It says it more generically, the firstborns must be redeemed. So there's your first distinction. Number two, base. In our parasha, the notion of Pidyon HaBen follows as a direct consequence of the story of the Exodus, which of course had the plague of Makas Bechoris, the firstborns, and it says clearly, Vayehi ki ksha paro l'shalcheina, vayar gashem kol b'chor b'eretz Mitzrayim, al kein kol b'chor b'nai yefteh. There the Torah says it very clearly, because Hashem, when Paro refused to allow the Jewish people to go, smote his firstborns, therefore, al kein, this is the reason why you do Pidyon HaBen. Whereas, v'parashas Korach nema Pidyon HaBen, v'parashas matnois kehuna, whereas in Parashas Korach, the context of Pidyon HaBen is more along the lines of what we give to a kohen. So because this is one of the gifts that we give to the kohen, the five siloim, the five silver coins with which we redeem a firstborn, goes to the kohen. So it fits into the context over there of the 24 gifts that are given to the kohanim. Okay, so two distinctions. The one is that in our parasha there's an emphasis on the father-son relationship in the context of Pidyon HaBen, whereas in Korach there isn't. Secondly, in our parasha there's the historical context. It's because I smote the firstborns, therefore you redeem yours. In Korach, it's in the context of things that have to do with our contributions to the Kohanim. So Val Pizeh, with that in mind, Yesh leforish time a hefresh ben abavri val Yerushalmi ben hegal mekirish adin beim loy p'do'oy aviv shaben chayv lifdois esatzmoy. Now we can start to see the distinction between the approach of the Talmud Bavli and Yerushalmi as to how we know that if somebody was not redeemed as a child, that they have the responsibility as an adult. The only thing is that in order to understand this distinction, first we need to examine the concept of Pidyon HaBen as it is discussed in the Talmud Yerushalmi, specifically at the conclusion of Masechta Psochim. That will give us a little bit more of a fuller picture, and from that we can understand how it is that we have these two different approaches. So what does it say at the end of Masechta Psochim? It's a really intriguing piece, and as we'll see later, the Rebbe is going to pay very close attention to some of the wording because it seems to be a little bit convoluted. Masechta Masechta Psochim Isa, at the end of Masechta Psochim, it says, Rabbi Samloi Ikra Lepidin Ben. Rabbi Samloi came to Apinya Ben, Bo Minei, and they asked him the following question. Here's where it sounds a little convoluted. Pshita al Pidin Ben, Ashakichonu Mitzvah Yisivon al Pidin Ben. It's obvious that when it comes to the actual Pidyon HaBen and the bracha associated with it, which is the bracha Al Pidyon HaBen, it's clear that the father has to say that bracha. The question is, the question that they had was, when it comes to Shechionu, which you say to Pidyon HaBen, unlike a bris, because of the bris, there's pain associated, you don't say Shechionu, but at a Pidyon HaBen, you say Shechionu. So who says it? Is it the father who's redeeming his child, or is it the Kohen who facilitates the mitzvah? So here are the two sides of the argument. Kohen mevorech dekomoti ano li yodei. Does the Kohen say the bracha because Shechionu is a bracha associated with personal benefit? Yeah, the Kohen's the one who's going to benefit. He's going to get 5 silver coins. So does he say the bracha over the unique occasion which allows him this benefit? Or does the father of the child say the bracha because he is performing a mitzvah and therefore he'd be saying the Shechionu over the mitzvah? So the Kohen would be saying it over the benefit that he gets on occasion. And the father, if he were to say the bracha, would be saying it over the mitzvah. Rabbi Samloi didn't have an answer for them. Then he went and he inquired in the yeshiva Amrulei, and they told him Avia ben mevorech shtayim. They told him that the father of the child says both the brocha al pidyon haben and the brocha shechion, and the Gemara concludes vehilchasa Avia ben mevorech shtayim. That's what we do in practice. The father of the child says both of these brochas. Okay, so we need to understand some things about the nature of the story and the halachic question associated with it. It's clear that the only dilemma they had as to who says the bracha is only about the Shechionu bracha. So therefore, ma mokim lagdama demilse dipshita pshita al pidyon haben chol avi haben mevorech. So why do we need the whole convoluted introduction? We know it's obvious that the bracha al pidyon haben the father says. Our question is only about Shechionu. Cut to the chase and just say we would like to know. At a Pidyon HaBen, does the father or the Kohen say Shechionu? It's really quite straightforward and simple. So why do we need the whole run-up with all these apparently unnecessary phrases? Pshita, it's obvious to us. Zvina kushya zoyik shebitzlach. This question is raised in the Tzlach, the Tzin Lefesh Chaya, by the Noda B'Yehuda. It's his commentary on Gemara. And he explains as follows. Metareit da'kavona bazel ha-hadgish shehabayivrich Shechionu bo mitzad ha-hadig b'nusach ha-brocha shepidyon HaBen. Before you can understand the question of who says Shechionu, you have to pay attention to the specific wording of Pidyon HaBen. In fact, earlier in the Gemara Psachim, it talks about the nature of brochas, the syntax of brochas, how brochas are supposed to be said. Do they typically fall into the format of le brochas, like lehaniach tefillin, lehadlik, or do they fall into the al category, like al mitzvah tefillin, or al natilas lulav, etc.? So we've got to pay close attention here to the syntax of the bracha because it's a big deal. And once we understand the nature of the bracha al pidyon haben, we can understand the question of Shechionu. So mavor bezeh b'shnei yifanim. So the Tzlach offers two potential ways that we could look at this. Aleph, mizeh shemevorchim al pidyon haben v'loy lifdois. The fact that the nature, the grammar of the bracha is al, that Hashem has commanded us regarding the mitzvah of redeeming a firstborn, as opposed to Vetzivon Hashem instructed us lifdois, to actively redeem the firstborn. So the language is quite important. Muchoch, that indicates to us she'efshe lifdois gamal yidei shliach. That indicates when you use an al brocha, that indicates that some other person could potentially fulfill the mitzvah as your representative. Umikeim and shekein, because somebody else could theoretically do the mitzvah pidyon haben for you, miserer sabaya mi mevorech brichas shechiyonu. That's what raises the question. So who should say shechiyonu? Meaning, avia ben mevorech yisafa pishem yipizet tvutal lifomim brocha zoi haynu ba'asuyis shliach liftos es bnoi mikol mokem ha'ov mevorech mishum tekovit mitzvah. So one angle would be, look, the father's the one doing the mitzvah, he should say shechiyonu. That means that there might be instances where Shechiyonu will not be said at a Pidyon HaBen. Let's say the father, for whatever reason, outsourced the Pidyon HaBen to a Shliach. Let's say he was incapacitated, he couldn't do it. So there'll be no Shechiyonu. That's okay, because the primary driver over here is that the one doing the mitzvah should say Shechiyonu. Or do we say, Shetam ze bitul habrocha k'shnas al de Shliach machir letakin shakir mevorech, or do we say, because Al allows the possibility that the father may not be the one redeeming his own son in person, and we don't want to lose the brocha of Shechiyonu, so let's allocate the brocha to the Kohen, because he deserves to say Shechiyonu, because he's getting benefit out of the money of the Pidyon HaBen, and therefore he's entitled to say the brocha, and that way we'll be assured that Shechiyonu will happen at every single Pidyon HaBen. That's one possible way to look at it, right? That the Al indicates the possibility of, depending on whose Shechiyonu it is, whether or not there will be a Shechiyonu. Or there's another way to look at it. Base. Hanusach al pidyon haben moichiach she'ein mitzvah pidyon nasis v'nigmeres al yidei avi haben lechut. Or you could say, Al indicates that the father does not complete the mitzvah on his own. Ki im b'siyua ha'koyen she'mekabal ha'pidyon. He would not be able, think about it, any other mitzvah that you want to do, you can do on your own. You want to put on tefillin, put on tefillin. You want to shake a lulav, put a shake a lulav. You want to do pidyon haben, you can't. You need a koyen. Without the koyen, The Pidyon HaBen is incomplete. And in fact, you could even go so far as to say that the expression al indicates that it's a two-part, two-person process, as opposed to le, which would indicate that it's a straightforward, one-person process. So if that's the case, maybe that's why we have a question, who should say Shechiyonu? Because both of them now have the rights to say Shechiyonu over doing a mitzvah, because the two, the father and the Kohen, are together fulfilling the mitzvah, but the Kohen has an added reason why he should say Shechiyonu, because he's also going to get money out of it. So is the question whether or not we want to ensure that Shechiyonu is present at every Pidyon HaBen, or is the question whether the person who has two reasons to say Shechiyonu should be more prominent? That's the Tzlach's approach. However, the Rebbe says technically, when you examine the nature and language of the Gemara, it would appear that what the Tzlach is suggesting doesn't sit nicely with the way the Gemara presents it. Shasafek shel abol minei eina ela midiuk haloshen al pidyon haben eina misiyah shel kirul kach v'signa v'hemshach yinu b'gemara. So according to what the Tzlach is saying, the entire debate, the question, the dilemma that was presented to Rabbi Samloy that he couldn't answer, all hinges on the words al pidyon haben, al as opposed to lifdois. That's how the Tzlach wants to suggest it, in the two possible ways in which the al gives us the dilemma, says the Rebbe. But that does not fit nicely with the flow of the Gemara for three reasons. Aleph, number one, mehanigud pshita chulei baruch chulei koyin mevorech oy avi haben chulei mashmet apshitu sohu hi ba'oisa anoisa shaboy haba'ayo hamevorech. First of all, the language of the Gemara is to contrast two scenarios. The Gemara says, it is obvious to us who says the brocha al pidyon haben. Our question is, who says the brocha Shechiyonu? That comparison does not lean in the direction of saying, because the language was al pidyon haben. The Gemara is not saying that. The Gemara is saying, we know who has to say the first brocha, and now we have a question about the second brocha. Also, number two, base. Im ikad gosho hu, loy bezed de pshita, sheha of hu amevorech al pidyon, ele benusach ha-brocha. If it's as the Tzlach says, that it's not an issue of, we know for sure who says brocha one, and now we are wondering who says brocha two. But if, as the Tzlach says, we're not sure what the language of the brocha number one tells us about brocha number two, im kein havelei lemeim, b'seder hafuch, if that was actually the case, the Gemara should have flipped it and said exactly what it wanted to say the other way around. What does it mean the other way around? Pshita shavia ben mevorech ben nusach al pidyon haben, veloy kafisha hu lefonenu, pshita al pidyon haben, chulei avia ben hu amevorech. So the language that the Gemara has it now is that it is obvious to us that for the mitzvah al pidyon haben, the father says the brocha al pidyon haben. If it's Zach that Tzlach wanted to say that the whole emphasis over here is on the wording, then it should have said, pshita, that the words al pidyon haben, the father says. Yet another indication that the Gemara here is not grappling over the language and syntax of the brocha, rather over the person who should be saying the brocha. And thirdly, if the Gemara wanted to get to a point which says that al pidyon haben leads us to understand that the kohen should say shehechiyonu, well then, you could have just said it that way. Simply, cleanly. The Gemara is typically more succinct than this. Why does it go through the whole convoluted thing? Al pidyon haben, the father says, the brocha, al pidyon haben, and that's obvious to us, and now we need to know who says shehechiyonu. V'im ken hadra kushi leduchto, matam la'akdoma sh'avi haben, mevorech al pidyon haben. And so we're really back to square one, which is the question, why or how do we know that the question is who should be saying the bracha? Not what is the language of the bracha, the question is who should be saying the bracha. The truth is we could apply a similar line of questioning to the second part of the same discussion. And the Gamba Asim b'Gemar v'Hilchas Avi Aben Mevorech Shtayim. When you see the response that they gave him, Rabbi Samloi, in the base Medrash, and the way the Gemara rounds it up by saying, and this is the practical halacha, that the father says both brachas, v'chiminyon ha'asel ha'shminon. Why does it say two? Why does it say that the father says two brachas? What do we not know how to count? Did we need the Gemara to list for us number two? There are two brachas here, and he says two. V'aloi lo yo'is ha'abayi v'shtei ha'brachas. Wasn't the question all about who says Shehechionu? So why now are you answering specifically by telling me how many brochas the father says? Why don't you just simply say, the father is the one who says Shehechionu? Why do I need this shtayim, dafka, to emphasize the fact that he has to say two brochas? Also, there's a broader question over here. And although we will offer a suggested answer to this question, it's quite a compelling question. What is the connection between pidyon haben and specifically which brochas are said by whom at a pidyon haben? What has that to do with Masechta Pesachim and specifically the conclusion of the tractate? Because we know that the conclusion of a sugya, of a concept, of an entire section of Torah, kind of symbolizes what that section is all about. So why are we now talking not just generically about pidyon haben, but about these details of who says which bracha? So Pirush Rashbam Mavur, the Rashbam explains, Mishum da'ayim asnisim b'shnei minei brachos brachos be'odam echad u'maise echad hatolei ze b'zeh k'goyim pesach v'zeh v'zevach shechagiga boim ha'pesach. So the Rashbam wants to suggest as follows. If you have a look at the context, at this point in time, the Gemara is discussing when a person sits down to the meal on the first night of Pesach, and you're eating a Korban Pesach and a Korban Chagiga. So it's two different Korbanos with one person or one group of people eating those Korbanos. So Mishumochi Noket Nami Lahayuv to Davi Aben Mevorech Shtayim. So because the Gemara was talking about a scenario with two different mitzvahs and the question as to how the brachas relate to the two different mitzvahs, in other words, is it one bracha over the Korban Pesach and the Korban Chagigah, or do they get separate brachas, etc.? So we're on that theme and we're talking about two brachas related to a mitzvah. Therefore, the Gemara kind of tagged from that onto the discussion of Pidyon HaBen and the two brachas associated with Pidyon HaBen. Says the Rebbe, you're right. That works. That explains it. It shows a direct association between the nature of the theme of where the Gemara was at and the theme of what it is discussing now. You know, the Gemara can afford to do this. The Gemara can go off onto sort of unrelated topics and create a link between what we're discussing and an otherwise unrelated topic that has something similar. But the minute you get to the Rosh and the Rif, their job is different. The nature of the Rif and the Rosh is they cut to the chase. They skim off all of the conversation, the discussions, the proofs, the counter-arguments, and they just go through the basic halachic issues on the topic of this particular Masechta, and that's what they go through. The only place where the Rif and the Rosh should have discussed this particular issue should be in the halachas of Bechoros Masechta. Bechoros, we talk about firstborns. Why did they also include this issue here in the halachic side of Psochim? Alavadai, that indicates to us clearly, that indicates very clearly to us that this issue of Pidyon HaBen, so the theme of Pidyon HaBen and the specifics of the brochas and who says them, that ties in a very deep and meaningful way to the entire message and theme of Masechta Psochim. And that's what we need to understand. When you think about it, now we're going to break it down into practical, logical components which will help us to understand the nature of the mitzvah. So the first thing you identify is that the mitzvah Pidyon HaBen has three participants. Obviously, there's Avi HaBen HaPoides Bnoi, there's the father redeeming his son, HaBen HaNifte, there's the son who's being redeemed, V'HaKoyen HaMekabel Tmei HaPidyon, and you have the Koyen who receives the money to effect that halachically required exchange. V'hine, Shtatvos HaKoyen, B'zeh SheMekabel Tmei HaPidyon, V'HaLidei ZeNifte HaPchor. Let's analyze for a moment the Koyen's role. So the Koyen's role is accept the money by which the Bechor, the firstborn, is now redeemed. So, Einin Yona She'olov Hutal Hachiv Rifdois Bechor MeYisrael. Everybody will agree that is not his responsibility. The Kohen does not carry the responsibility to redeem a Jewish child. It's just a practical detail of how you do Pidyon HaBen, but it's not his responsibility, it's the father's or the son's responsibilities. Sheina pidyon naase kim al idei nesinas akesef lehakoyen. So what's the Kohen's role? The father needs to redeem his son. The only practical way in which he could do that is to give money to the Kohen who represents Hashem in this transaction in order to facilitate the exchange and to redeem his son. So you could effectively say that the Kohen is a misayeya. He assists the process of the mitzvah. He is not at this point fulfilling a mitzvah. Okay, so we put the Kohen into a category of his own. He is not fulfilling a mitzvah at this point in time. He is facilitating somebody else's mitzvah. Now, now we've got to analyze, what is the role of the father? What is the role of the son? And how do they relate to each other? And this is going to be critical to understanding how Pidyon HaBen works. There are two possibilities. Number one, Aleph, one possibility is mitzvah habdia hi ala ben. A child has a mitzvah to redeem himself. But he can't do it. He's a child. Much like a bris, right? He might be obligated to bris himself, but he's 8 days old. The Torah is very clear about that. But Yom HaShmini, so it's impractical to do it. Just as here we're clear, the Torah says, Ben Chodesh Tifteh, he's got to be a month old. So he practically cannot do it. It's his mitzvah that he is unable to do personally. So Beis Chalos HaMitzvah, at the time that the mitzvah becomes relevant, he is disempowered and unable to do it. So therefore, Itil HaTorah is a mitzvah. So what the Torah does is, the Torah says, now the father steps in as the son's representative to fulfill this mitzvah. And you might say the same thing about a bris, that the father is required to step in on his son's behalf in order to fulfill the mitzvah, which his son technically should be doing himself but cannot. And in a similar vein, but not exactly, you could say a similar thing with regards to Talmud Torah, that you have to educate your child. Obviously, the child is not in a position to educate himself. So at that point, it's the father's responsibility, although that's a little different because part of the responsibility is, of course, to educate, as opposed to here, that the child actually doesn't have to do a thing. The child can be completely passive. So that's one possibility. It's the child's mitzvah facilitated by the father for practical reasons. Or we could argue that actually the responsibility is the father's. Mitzvah hapidyon and mitzvah ha'av. It's his responsibility. Should he later not fulfill his responsibility, it will then become the child's responsibility to fill in. So that's what we have to analyze. Is this very much on the child or is this very much on the father? And incidentally, by the way, that's why, if you have a look in the Rambam, he says, if you go with the first opinion, that it is the child's responsibility, the Rambam says, depending on who does it, the bracha will be different. If the father redeems his son, then he says, al pidina ben. If the child grows to be an adult and he has to redeem himself, he'll say, lifdois. Why? Because it's actually his mitzvah. So is it that way? Is it the child's mitzvah facilitated practically by the father because of circumstances? Or is it the father's mitzvah, and if he doesn't get to do it, the child takes responsibility? What's the practical difference? So, ma'an nafkemina ledina ben shnei oifanim, here's the difference. Im loy pido oy aviv bekatno se'at shegodol hal ben al mime mutul chiv apdia. Let's say a father did not redeem his son. Now the son is an adult. Who's got the mitzvah now to do pidyon haben? Dim ne mikisforo yishoyno. If you go with the first view, which is, was always the child's mitzvah, he just wasn't old enough to be able to do it. So it was his mitzvah, now he's old enough to do it, and therefore he has the chiyuv responsibility to do it. If that's the case, then the father no longer has the rights or the merit or the responsibility to redeem his son. He's lost it. He's lost the opportunity to do a mitzvah. Okay, it's not really his mitzvah. It's the son's mitzvah, but he could have gotten a tremendous value out of doing the mitzvah on his son's behalf. Gone. He can never reclaim that opportunity. If we go with the argument that it is the son's mitzvah. Ah, volim neima, but if we go the second view and we say, shachiv meikoro hu ala of, that it's the father's mitzvah originally and fundamentally. So then, harei gam li'acha shegodol ha-ben v'lo nifteh adayin nish'ar o b'chiyuvoi v'schusoi. Then, if it turns out that he did not give his son a pidyon ha-ben, and now the son is an adult, the father still has the responsibility and the right to step in and do it. So he could still kind of reclaim his lost mitzvah. It's not too late if we go with that view. The Sefer HaChinuch says a similar thing. The Sefer HaChinuch says that it's the father is always responsible to redeem his son. In other words, indicating that it's fundamentally his mitzvah. And then, of course, if we go with that opinion, that it's the father's mitzvah, then we still need to learn independently of that, that should the father never do the mitzvah, the child has to take responsibility at some time. Once we understand that there's two particularly different views of how Pidyon HaBen works, either to argue it's the son's responsibility, and eventually, if nobody does it for him, he's got to take that responsibility, but his father has a chance to get the mitzvah too, or it's the father's responsibility. So that distinction will help us to appreciate why the Talmud Yerushalmi and the Talmud Bavli learn the principles of Pidyon HaBen from different psukim. Specifically, this concept that you're chayev liftoi sesatzmai. Lesug yashar Yerushalmi shegan din ze shim loy ptoi ovev chayev liftoi sesatzmai. In the Yerushalmi approach, this concept that should a person not have been redeemed by his father, now he has to do it. That is learned from the pasuk that says, the firstborn child of your people has to be redeemed. By quoting that pasuk, which indicates relationship, it's your son. Says the Yerushalmi, I see in those words that it's your son, meaning you, the father, carry that responsibility. Why else would the Torah have contextualized it specifically as a son? Hainu, Shebereishis Mekoiro Shel Mitzvah Pidyon HaBen Bakosuv Nichlu Beis HaChiyuvim Shel Ha'ov VeHaBen Ke'echod. Therefore, from the Yerushalmi's perspective, the very first time we are ever introduced to the concept of Pidyon HaBen, it has both dimensions to it. Responsibility on the father, and then by extension, if the father doesn't do it, responsibility for the child. So mishtave shehamitzvah b'ikore cheves haben, v'shemimena mesuveves kam cheves ha'ov amufureshes batayra. So in other words, the way Yerushalmi is seeing it goes like this. I look in the pasuk says, bonecho. Oh, I hear the word bonecho. I think, there you go, it's your son, it's your responsibility as a father. Ah, says Yerushalmi, not so simple. When you have a look at that, the Torah is telling us in the same breath, there is a responsibility to redeem yourself. That's your responsibility as the firstborn. And we also extend the opportunity to your father that he could also redeem. And the Yerushalmi will go with a view of, look, you're supposed to be redeemed at a young age. That's not practical. So while it is your mitzvah, bevanecha, your child, indicates the father could step in and could help you. So the Yerushalmi's view is that it's the child's responsibility that the father could execute on his behalf should the circumstance require it. Whereas when you look from the perspective of the Gemara, Talmud Bavli, halacha zoi, shaben chayv liftoi sesatzmai loy p'do'oi aviv, yalfina mipasuk acher. The Talmud Bavli says there's a mitzvah Pidyon HaBen, which we learn in this parasha, but the idea that a son has to redeem himself, that's from a totally different pasuk, from a totally different source. Hanema ki prat ach echad beparashas matnas kuhuna. Interestingly, the pasuk that the Talmud Bavli brings is a pasuk that is speaking of one specific detail in a broader picture of 24 gifts to the Kohanim. Veloy me oisei apostok shebeparshas pidin aben sheboy nemar din pidin ala of. The Gemara Talmud Bavli says specifically it's not from the same source where we are told that the father redeems his son. Why? So mizeh muchach shechiyuv shel aben ein loy mokem vekeshe bechiyuv dikra sheala of. The Talmud Bavli's attitude is the Torah split it into two psukim. One pasuk speaking to the father, bevar necha, you have the mitzvah to your child. A different pasuk, podoi tifde, that you should surely redeem firstborns. To separate the two. They are two completely different issues, two completely different responsibilities. Meaning, ela shehu limud noisim akam acher betoira shegama ben yochol liftoi sesatzmai kishi yigdal. In other words, the way that Bavli sees it, the Torah first tells us, Bevanecha, you, father, you have a mitzvah to redeem your son. Should that not work out elsewhere in Torah, almost as a sidebar, in a bigger discussion about Matnos Kohuna, we learn that there is the possibility of the Bechor redeeming himself. Not because it's his mitzvah, but because he's got to now take care of it practically because his father didn't do it. That means that the Talmud Bavli sees that the fundamental responsibility of Pidyon HaBen is a father's responsibility. Not the sons. From the attitude and perspective of the Talmud Bavli, when the child becomes an adult, the father still retains his mitzvah to redeem his son. But if he doesn't get around to it, and for sure if he doesn't want to do so, then it turns out that the son, being an adult, who is chayev, responsible to fulfill all the 613 mitzvahs of the Torah, including Pidyon HaBen, and in this case there's a Pidyon HaBen that he is directly related to because it's himself, and it hasn't been taken care of, so now he's got to do it. He's got to do the mitzvah. And by the way, this would be quite similar, if you think about it, to the principle of a bris, because the Talmud Yerushalmi learns the concept of having a bris out of the pasuk, Vayom Ashmini Yimor Les Psaro Losoi. Okay? There it doesn't say anything about the father being the one to do it. It's a generic statement. On the eighth day, a person has to have a bris. That's the Yerushalmi's perspective. Whereas the Bavli learns it from the pasuk, Vayom Al Avram Es Yitzchok Benoi, that there is a fatherly responsibility to circumcise a child. So you'd see a similar kind of debate between the Talmud Bavli and Yerushalmi about a bris, as you'd see over here about Pidyon HaBen. And in both cases, the Yerushalmi would go with the view that it's fundamentally the child's responsibility, but the father does it for practical reasons. And the Bavli would go with the view that it's the father's responsibility, which the son would have to step in and do if it hasn't been done. Now that we understand these two views, we can go back to our conclusion of Gemara Pesachim, obviously in the Talmud Bavli, and understand what the issues were and how they were resolved. First of all, the reason that the Gemara worded it in such a way that it's obvious to us that the Brocha al Pidyon HaBen is said by the father, we needed to say that in order to clarify why we're asking a question about Shechiyonu. So Adiyoku, the nuance is like this. Kevin the Pshita, Bli Kol Tnoim, Dalapidin HaBen, Ha'ov Mevorech Hainu, Le Oilom Gam Le Achar, Shegodal HaBen, Ove Nusach Sheha'ov, Oima Shekichonu B'mitzvoy Sevetzivonim, because in the view of the Talmud Bavli, it is the father's mitzvah to redeem his child, no matter the age of the child. And even if the child is an adult, he would still say, Vetzivonu, I was commanded to redeem you. So that's the pshita, that's the emphasis the Gemara wanted to make over here. It is clear to us that the mitzvah of Pidyon HaBen rests with the father, and therefore it's obvious that he's the one to say the brocha. Kloimer, im ein ha'ov mevorech brocha zeh kishagod la'ben el ha'ben. Let's say, for argument's sake then, that the child grows up, and now he has to redeem himself. So the father doesn't get to say the brocha. If we went to the Talmud Yerushalmi and we thought that the responsibility of a Pidyon HaBen is the child's responsibility, it's just practical that the father's doing it now, practically, well then it wouldn't be a question who says Shechiyonu. Ki pshita shakoy mevorech. It would be obvious that the Kohen would say the Brocha Shechiyonu. Why? Because we know without a doubt that the Kohen is in a position to say the Brocha Shechiyonu because he derives a personal benefit for which he can say this Brocha. But if we went with the Yerushalmi's attitude, the father would definitely not say Shechiyonu because it's not his mitzvah. It's the child's mitzvah that he's facilitating for practical reasons. He's just doing the mitzvah on his child's behalf. And once the child becomes older, he no longer is the representative of the child. So he for sure would not say, not only not say Shechiyonu, he wouldn't say the brocha then. He wouldn't be able to do the Pidyon HaBen then. So it's not his mitzvah if we went with the Yerushalmi's view. Like the very obvious idea that if you do a mitzvah on somebody else's behalf, you do not say Shechiyonu. Obviously, it's not your mitzvah. Therefore, the Talmud Bavli Dafka said, Pshita, Aval Mikave on the Pshita. Shabirchas Ashakichon of Mitzvahs of Vitzivonu, Alpinin Aben, Aviaben Mevorchli Oilom. Because it's absolutely clear that the Brocha Alpinin Aben belongs to the Father at any point in history, including if he were to redeem his son when the son was an adult. Now we know clearly the Pidyon HaBen mitzvah seshel ha'avi. Now we know that the mitzvah of Pidyon HaBen is the father's mitzvah. Now we have a question. Now we have a valid reason to question. So who should say Shechiyonu? If it wasn't the father's mitzvah, there's no valid question. He has no rights to the Shechiyonu. But now we know that it's the father's mitzvah in the attitude and the approach of the Talmud Bavli. So now we have a question. Because it would appear that the father and the Kohen both have equal arguments to suggest that they should say the Shechiyonu. See the language, the nuance of the language in the Gemara. The father is currently doing a mitzvah. Not that it is fundamentally his mitzvah. He's doing a mitzvah on behalf of his child who's too young to do it. Hashem gave him that opportunity based on the Pasuk. It's a mitzvah that comes from time to time, for which you say Shechiyonu. Or we could argue equally that the Kohen should be the one to say that the bracha Shechiyonu, because Shechiyonu is a valid bracha for when a person gets something that is personally beneficial and joyous for them in their life, like in this case, he's getting the five sloim. So it's only because we know that the Talmud Bavli believes that the bracha, that the mitzvah, is the father's mitzvah, that's the only reason that we suggest he might be the one to say the Shechiyonu. So you probably thought, I thought, at the beginning of this, that it's surprising the Kohen should have a right to Shechiyonu. Now it's a little bit more surprising to us that the father, it's the Chiddush, that the father has the right to say Shechiyonu. Okay, parenthetically, the Rebbe asks, Vin toimar, in kein yivorchu shneim Shechiyonu. So why don't we just settle this in the nice Jewish way? You know, what would you like, chicken or beef? Yes. Let them both say Shechiyonu. Why do we have to put one against the other? Let them both say Shechiyonu. What's the big deal? Why don't we allow the father to say the bracha over his part of the mitzvah, giving the money, mitzvah, and the kohen to say Shechiyonu over the receiving of the money, personal benefit. Shalom al Yisrael, everybody would be happy. So Shlomo, the answer to that would be, and we don't just say Shechiyonu for anything. You say Shechiyonu for something which is of meaningful value. Buy a new house. Many people have the custom to say Shechiyonu when they put on a new garment. So it's not just stam. Shechiyonu is not just, I'm in a good mood, something good happened, I found a parking space, I'm going to say Shechiyonu. It's got to be associated with something of meaning. So in our context, just receiving the five silver coins won't be enough reason alone for the coin to say Shechiyonu. Why not? Because it's money. Imagine you say Shechiyonu every time you get money. The chapa over here is it's mitzvah money. That's where the Shechiyonu belongs. But the mitzvah is what's giving value to this particular transaction that it might deserve a Shechiyonu. But if the father's already saying the brocha Shechiyonu for the mitzvah, it's now no longer logical that the kohen should be saying the brocha for the money, which is actually just a detail of the mitzvah, because the mitzvah's already had a Shechiyonu associated with it. So that's not a solution to suggest that they both say Shechiyonu. And so we're back to our original question, who deserves to say the Shechiyonu? The father because it's his mitzvah, or the kohen because he's getting benefit? Now we can understand what the response was. So we get what the question was. Now we get why the response is specifically to tell us that the father says two brochas rather than just saying the father does say Shechiyonu. Why that? The Gemara doesn't just answer the question, but it emphasizes the concept of saying two brachos. Why is that important? The Torah over here, the Gemara, wants to emphasize for us that it's the same motivation for both brachos. What's the motivation? That the primary mitzvah of pidyon haben belongs to her father. So not like the Yerushalmi who wanted to say it's actually the son's mitzvah and the father's just stepping in, and therefore he says the bracha while he's stepping in. So therefore, once we understand that the primary mitzvah, the primary bracha over here, al pidyon haben, belongs to the father, because the primary mitzvah belongs to the father, it is natural then to understand that the bracha shechionu primarily belongs to the father. So not just to tell us that he says shechionu, but to tell us shtayim, the two go hand in hand. It's for the same reason that he has to say both brachas. Had the Gemara just simply answered that the father is the one who has to say shechionu, lo havi adina taimid milsa, we wouldn't know why he says shechionu. We would think that it's just because of the weakness of the Koyang's claim to the Shechionu. In other words, getting money is not a good enough reason to say Shechionu. That's what we would have imagined is the reason. And we would just say, you know what, it's exactly in the same way as a person doesn't say Shechionu unless it's something which is of tremendous value, and exactly like the Kohanim do not say Shechionu every time they get one of the other 24 gifts that the Kohanim receive as described in Parashas Korach. We would never appreciate that the reason the father says Shechionu is because it is his mitzvah. Once the Gemara uses that expression, Shtayim, that it's two brachas, then we get it. It's one continuum, it's one theme. The father's mitzvah, therefore the father's shechiyonu. So what's this got to do with Masech the Psochim? Dafka. This will help us to understand the association between the story and the details of Pidyon HaBen and Masech the Psochim. Just like the Torah in our parasha made it very clear, why is there such a thing as Pidyon HaBen? Because of the story with Paroi, because of Makas Bechoros, because Hashem took us out, therefore we have to also dedicate our firstborns to Hashem. The same theme will flow into Psochim as well. The Torah Shebaal Peh version of Pidyon HaBen. Sheikarav Teichne Shel HaPesach U'Asher Posach HaBotim LeYisrael BeMitzrayim BeNokves Mitzrayim BeMakas Pcheres VeSpcheres Boteinu Yitzil. Just like we say, what was the cause of Pidyon HaBen? The fact that Hashem killed the firstborns and redeemed us. What is the reason we have Pesach? Because Hashem killed the firstborns and redeemed us. The same reason for Pidyon HaBen is the same reason we have Pesach. Because Hashem killed the firstborns and freed us. Therefore, it's a very suited ending to Masech the Psochim. And by the way, that also gives us a hint as to why the father specifically has to say Shechionu. Because the Torah makes it very clear that Hashem personally took us out of Mitzrayim, personally skipped over the homes, personally redeemed us. His firstborn son, as he told Moshe to inform Paroi right at the beginning of the story. So now we get it. If Hashem personally rescued and redeemed his son, naturally the mitzvah must be for a father to redeem his son so that the mitzvah will match the reason we have the mitzvah in the first place. And that will then help us to understand the conclusion of Masech the Psochim at a deeper level, more esoteric level. Hasim v'ashleimus depidnish of nipchar yisom agolus haino agolus hazeh ha'acharon. The siyum, the end of Psachim, speaks to the story of the end of redeeming Hashem's firstborn, which of course is the time of Mashiach. Shayechukav mishpat v'yisrael chulei, hu oisle be'atzmoy. As the Gemara famously tells us in the Pasuk in Tilim, whatever mitzvahs Hashem instructs us to do, He does. You can be assured that if Hashem expects us to redeem our firstborns, He will redeem us, His firstborn, from Golus. A critical part of understanding this is the fact that it's Rabbi Simloi who is the person who made this statement, who had this conversation recorded at the end of Psachim. Rabbi Simloi is the one who says you should always create an orderly sense of praising Hashem and then daven for what you need. Order is very important. That's why you'll notice over here as well that in the discussion as to who should say the bracha, the Gemara first suggests the Kohen and then suggests the father, because as we're about to see later in the Sicha, the Kohen represents a more accessible level of elikus, and the father represents a higher level of elikus. And that's the thing, yesad der shvachoi, there should be an orderly approach in how we come close to Hashem in order to daven. There's basically two major steps in how you order the davening. Benigle or benister. Some of it is direct, as if Hashem is revealed and open, and some is indirect, as if Hashem is concealed and beyond us. Like you see in the language of brachos, baruch atah, right? That's direct, second person, you. Lashon nigle noichach, direct, face to face, you. And then we say, Hashem kiddushanu, He commanded us, third person, nister. Atala noichach benigle, which refers to a malikol olam miseder hishtalshlus, v'kitchonu benister, sevuklam v'maini mishtalshlus. So that implies that there's a process of here. We start with a level of godliness we can relate to in a personal way. You, something I can understand, something I can identify. That is the level of godliness that is called Memalei Kol Olmin, how Hashem fills our reality with His energy. And then I get to a point where Hashem becomes third person, in other words, beyond me and kind of impossible for me to relate to directly. Kiddushonu, that refers to Soivev Kol Olmin, how Hashem transcends the reality of our world. Bine. This idea of praising Hashem is supposed to happen multiple times during the course of every day. And as we know, the Torah tells us we have to serve Hashem with our hearts, and the Gemara defines serving Hashem with our hearts is through davening. And that's the whole discussion Rabbi Simloi is having over here, is about the concept of davening. What's going on over here? It's not just a stammer story. Rabbi Samloi went to a Pidyon HaBen. He came to the concept of Pidyon HaBen. He got into a Shakla V'Tarya, a discussion, an examination of the nature of Hashem redeeming His firstborn, which of course is aligned with the halachas of how a father represents his firstborn. And he was talking not about so much about his generation, but rather about the end of time, the time of greeting Mashiach. What's going to happen? How does the Pidyon HaBen work? How does Hashem redeem us? The time in history where, according to the signs that the Gemara tells us, we are ready for Hashem to redeem us out of Golus, how does it work? So he starts the conversation, or the nature of the conversation the Gemara is recorded as, it's obvious that the brocha al Pidyon HaBen is said by the father. The only question is the Shechionu. Whose brocha is that? The father or the Kohen? What's the difference? What's the distinction between a father and a Kohen? And Hashem is referred to as both, because on the one hand, Avinu Malkeinu, as we know, many times we call Hashem our father. And on the other hand, it says that Okeichem Kohenu. So, Av hu o'ira in seif baruchu shal amayla mishtalshus, ki yodu da Av u'b'chinas chochme, shi'unin alpayim shon akad mater lo'ila m'chinas alefcha chochme. Father represents the concept of chochme. Chochme is a dimension of godliness that is way beyond all of the created reality. Koine is a chesed. Humadegas ha'or shabba bishtalshlus, whereas a koine is the representative of chesed, of kindness. Kindness says, oilam chesed yibane. That was the first energy that Hashem put into the reality of our world. So Av refers to Hashem as he is completely beyond anything that exists. And Koyen represents how Hashem is invested within the world that he created. So now, the word bracha throughout Chassidus is always associated with the concept of amshocha. It's not just that you bless Hashem, you draw some energy down into this world with every bracha. So, pidyon haben, the energy required in order to redeem us from galus, no question, that has to be drawn down from a level that is beyond ishtalshus. That's for sure the Father. The Father, the Av, Chokhmah, the dimension that is beyond anything we can imagine, has to be drawn down into our reality in order to get us out of Godus. That's clear. We saw this right in the beginning, the very first redemption of the Jewish people. It says, Ani v'loi malach, ani v'loi sorov. It's Hashem, no representatives, no outsourcing. Him in his essence, just as it was then, so it will be in the time of Mashiach. Even though within the realm of reality as we know it, there was a strong argument that the Jews should not have been redeemed because the Egyptians were idolaters, and so Lahavdil were the Jews. Doesn't matter. This is a level beyond any of those cheshboinus, beyond any of those hierarchies. It's Hashem in his essence choosing to redeem his firstborn. If that was the case then, how much more so when Mashiach comes? It is absolutely clear that the Geula with Mashiach is Hashem in person beyond all of the restrictions, all of the hierarchies, all of the spiritual chain reactions of the higher realms. So what is the question Rabbi Samloy asks? His bracha is about Shechionu bringing it down into the realm of time and space. We don't have a question where the power for Geula is coming from. It's coming from Hashem's essence. We want to know, how is it going to manifest in our reality? Lizman hazeh, in our reality, what's it going to look like? And in bezeh mevoyeh, that's his question. Mi mevorech, koyim demati anoli yadei, oy avi haben, mevorech tekovid mitzvah. Who says the bracha? How does the Shechion, how does the translation of the intense, infinite power of redemption, how does it translate into my reality here on earth? Is it, do I see the Father, or do I see it coming from a koyim? So koyen mevareich, the first suggestion is that the koyen is the one who says the bracha, which means the brachosav amshachosav shel ha-geula ti'al idei ha-koyen is ha-chesed, that the actual manifestation of how geula happens in my reality goes via a koyen, the representation of chesed. Zoyse meres ime yoy sheshoshon maile mesed yishtalshus b'chol zoyse amshachosav b'zman hazet tiyeh al demidus ha-chesed b'derech sed yishtalshus. What would that mean if the koyen is the one who says the bracha? It would mean that the power to take us out of Golos comes from Hashem's essence. The experience we see and feel of going out of Golos is filtered through the realities of Ishtalshlus, through the Chesed, through the dimensions of created reality. And the reason, the motivation for that would be the Kamati Anol Leyode, because there's personal benefit to that dimension of godliness. There is an element of godliness that also needs Geula. We know that all of these dimensions of godliness that are manifested in reality, which fall into the generic category Shechina, are also limited and impacted and affected and dragged down by the Golus. And they also need a way out. Veshav Hashem. Hashem's also going to, so to speak, return. So why would you want the energy of redemption to filter through the process of Ishtalshlus? Because Ishtalshlus also needs healing. Mati hanol liyadei derekechem koyenu. There is personal benefit, so to speak, to Hashem, so to speak, obviously to lower dimensions of Hashem's manifestation. And therefore the koyen should be part of the process. Gam yesh lo'ema. There's another way to look at the hana'a, because we said, why would the Kohen say Shechiyon? Because he stands to benefit. What's the benefit? Shechiyon will be released from Golos. There's another angle as well. Benefit is the schar, the reward from the Geula. Another way to say it is, let the Geula unfold in a natural process. That way the natural world kind of shares in the joy, shares in the experience, shares in the upliftment. And then there's an argument the other way, which says, no. Not only is the source of the power of our Geula from a dimension of Ein Sof, Hashem's infinite essence, but the delivery is too. And what would the motivation for that be? Vatam de Kovin Mitzvah. That's because the Father does a mitzvah. What does that mean? That implies that it's not just that there's wonderful things that happen when Mashiach comes, wonderful things for us, for the natural world, even for the Shekhinah itself. But the real essence of Geula is that it's Hashem's mitzvah. And that would mean something completely different. That would mean that Hashem invests into the Geula, into our experience, the essence. So version number one, the Kohen makes the bracha, means that the entire Geula process gets filtered in such a way that eventually attaches us down here on earth. If Hashem himself does the hamshocha, the bringing down of this energy into the world, we get the essence here in our reality. Says the Gemara, the solution is the Father says both brachas, meaning, seeing as the mitzvah of redeeming us, the firstborn of Hashem, is Hashem's mitzvah as our Father. That's what the Gemara wants us to know, that the Father says both brachos, meaning just as the Father initiates the process of energy flowing into this world from the infinite to take us out of Golos, he also ensures that the flow is such that it doesn't get filtered through the processes of the natural order. So rather, Hashem breaks all the boundaries, and therefore it is immediate, it is swift, it is b'chesed v'rachamim. There's no discomfort, there's no difficulties, because when things go through the natural processes, there are delays, there are elements that we feel that are a little bit challenging. All of that is wiped clear, and it's a smooth transition into Geula, something you can feel in your own gut. And that too is alluded to in the fact that we discuss all of these details of Pidyon HaBen specifically at the end of Masecht Pesachim. Besides the obvious, which we already discussed, that both Pidyon HaBen and Pesach carry the same theme, that Hashem himself is the one who took us out of Egypt, and we can assume the same with the time of Mashiach, but there's something else that's really fascinating. The word Pesach is related, if you understand a little bit of etymology, and you can sometimes switch letters around but still have an association. So Pesach, the last two letters, chos means to show compassion, to be worried, to be concerned. Chos HaKadosh Baruch Alon, that Hashem cared about us. Shezeh Lashon Targum, which is Aramaic. V'chein Tirgum Unkos al HaPasuk, Ufosachti. In fact, that's how Unklus translates the word. When Hashem says, I will skip over the houses, Unklus translates it, I will show compassion, I will empathize. And the using a word like chos, which is a word that shows tremendous care, tremendous empathy, and specifically saying it not in Lashon HaKodesh, but in Aramaic, tells you that the Pesach translates into the realities of our world. Doesn't get throttled, doesn't get limited, doesn't get downsized. Even in the Aramaic, it carries the same infinite message. מתחילה אמרו זה במדרש היינו בדלדל משוטר. ואחר כך מסיים הלכסה אבי הבן מבורך שתיים שנים שחולים גם בהליך הסלם. שאבי הבן מבורך שתיים, even in the way the story is told in the Gemara, first, the solution is given in the yeshiva. Healthy, closed, pristine environment. And then it says hilchasa, which of course means halach, but also means hiluch, walking out into the world, taking this message out into the world. Shebein etzem habdia, ubein am shechasan amat me'asor tfochim, tiyem melamayin misayid yishtalshus, beifin shal diluk, shegam zim ha'prushim shal posach Hashem, betoy v'anire v'anigli b'korib mamash, the theme and message that the Gemara wants us to know is that when it comes the time of Hashem redeeming His firstborn, the Geula through Mashiach, it will be from top to bottom, Ein Sof, from its point of origin till its manifestation in our reality, without any boundaries, without any hierarchies, without any restrictions, without any restraints, without any challenges, to be the most beautiful transitional experience and an immediate experience, which of course we hope will happen immediately.